WildTalkRadio.com.
Theme song.
This is the Firefly Funhouse, and I want to introduce you to some very special friends that I met along the way.
This is EC3.
Hey, this is Max Brown, King Robert from the Royals.
This is the undisputed future Seth Rollins.
Hey, this is Kane from WWE.
Hello, this is WWE Hall of Famer, the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels.
I'm Bristol.
And I'm Aubrey from ATTV, Flipper Flop Vegas.
Hi, this is Bree.
And this is Nikki, and we're the Bella Twins.
Yes, this is Broken Not Haughty. This is Christopher Daniels. And what I like to do on my off days is listen to the rap, and now you are too.
Satisfaction is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rack.
Goodness gracious, great balls of fire.
I love kickball.
I'm back, taking souls and digging holes.
I'm gonna break you, bitch, you hear me?
You can look, but you can't touch.
Ruthless aggression.
With your host.
They've been lying to you. Heroes don't exist. Y'all become addicted to the illusion of what a hero does for you.
Have I mentioned that I was once addicted to eating sponges?
Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
And you can just call me Taker.
Oh my God, it's Taker. Taker, Taker, Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And she was a wicked, wicked child who spat and swore and chewed tobacco.
I like puppets.
Stickers! And her producer, Sir Rocket.
My little creatures of the night will now experience the magical art of puppetry.
If you smell what the game is playing.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We're here.
Yowie wowie!
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. Brought to our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out, YouTube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over on RackRadioShow.com, WildTalkRadio.com, or directly on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. If you have a quick second, please check out our fine friends over at MBG Films, YouTube.com/MBG1211. And also, if you're on Twitch and you have a free Twitch Prime sub available, well, you can use it here if you like. All you got to do is click the little purple button down at the bottom of the screen, and you can subscribe to this channel 30 days for free, which means you get not just this show, but all the amazing shows on this network. And, well, if you don't have a Twitch Prime sub, and you know, you can subscribe the regular way. We are happy for that. Or if you just want to follow and hang out and lurk in the chat, that's fine, too. We're happy to have you any way you can get you. And if you're in a following mood, you can follow my channel, twitch.tv/LensWar, because one day I will stream again. I don't know when, but one day it'll happen. Anyway, I'm your host, Lindsay Ward. Joining me, as always, is the ever-faithful producer /co-host/handyman, Sir Rockin.
I love that. Anyway, we're here, we're live, and doing all the things. You can tweet us at WildTalkRadio, at RockRadioShow, at LensWar. We're here to talk wrestling with you tonight. And not about the artificial crowds that are going to be in the stadiums in baseball this season.
At least they're trying.
Which I think is cool, honestly. I honestly think, you know, what Fox is going to try to do with the virtual crowd could actually be interesting.
I'm curious to see it. I'm curious to see how it works.
Yeah, it's going to be for the Fox games. So on Saturdays that they're going to show it. It's like, all right. Some of the games are going to have, like, audio from MLB The Show, the video game, the crowd noise, to give it a more authentic feel, which is smart. So it's not dead silence.
Yeah, because you need noise. You need crowd noise at a baseball game and a football game and basketball and European football, soccer, whatever you want to call it, hockey, all the things. You need noise at all the things.
And if the virtual crowd works, they can then do it for SmackDown.
Ding.
Also, it's baseball season, so first game of season, rain delay.
Like you do.
Oh, baseball's back. Yay. Let's kick it off. But we're not here to talk about baseball or football or football.
We are here to talk wrestling, and y'all, we're going to switch the format up a little bit. We are going to open with Extreme Rules because...
No. It's the horror show at Extreme Rules.
We are not calling that thing a horror show because it was not a horror show as what was promised. It was a horror show for other reasons, but it is not a horror show as what was promised. So, it is Extreme Rules. That is what it is called, because that's about all it got to. So we're going to talk about that first, and then we're going to do News Notes, NXT, Tweet of the Week, all that stuff on the back half of the show.
It didn't even get to Extreme.
Well,
I mean, a little bit.
Yeah, it got to a kinky Extreme. I mean, does that count?
I guess.
There were chains and snakes and...
No alligators.
No alligators, but... There was a snake. There was some snake stuff going on there. And I don't know. Anyway, we're going to talk about it.
We'll get it all into it here tonight.
It's the thing. So let's get into Extreme Rules. Back to our friends over at mbgfilms.youtube.com/mbg1211. I don't even know where to start with this show. I think I want to start with the overall impression of the show.
Okay, what was your overall impression of the show?
I don't think this was a bad show.
Then you don't read the internet.
You're right, I don't. I tend to ignore the internet as much.
I mean, because they were proclaiming it one of the worst shows of all time.
This was not a bad show, okay? It was not. It was not the best show I've ever seen. It kind of was... I'm going to say it was underwhelming. It left you generally underwhelmed, especially for some of the stuff that was promised on the show. I think expectations were very high considering what they had said they were going to do, and are they really going to go there, and how are they going to do this? Like, there were a lot of unknowns going into this show for the two top matches, which was the Eye for an Eye match and the Wyatt Swamp match. And one delivered and one didn't, essentially. And both kind of like left, I think, a lot of people feeling underwhelmed and just not satisfied. You didn't get that satisfying conclusion that you desperately wanted from those matches. And I think that's where a lot of people are like slamming this and pinning this, is the matches itself were fine. The wrestling was fine, but some of the finishes especially were really screwy. And there was a lot of, I'm just going to say, there was a lot of fuckery in the finishes of these matches. And I think that turned people off as well.
Some of it worked, some of it didn't.
Some of it was just weird. Some of it did not come off well. So I think the nicest way I can say it is that it was just generally underwhelming and unsatisfying. But beyond that, like, the wrestling was fine. You know, the presentation of certain things were really good and really well done. Certain other things were not well done, and yeah, it was just, it was there. It was a thing. It was not the best thing I've ever seen, though.
So can we talk about your favorite thing of the show first?
Do I just get to scream about it now? I've held it in for 4 days.
Depends where you think I'm going with this.
Well, I know you're not going where I want you to go with this.
Nope. I'm going to go with the U.S. title announcement, your favorite thing on this show.
Okay. All due respect, if Apollo Crews was not there... and not wrestling. Hopefully he's okay and there's nothing plague related going on there. Why was this done on the show? This left me really, really confused. I understand that they had to fill time, but it made no sense if he was not there and the match was never going to happen, why this couldn't have been announced on the pre-show, or you didn't have somebody else challenge MVP, or you didn't do something else. It doesn't make a lot of sense why they did it like they did it, because essentially what happened is MVP and Lashley came out with the title, Crews wasn't there, and so Crews essentially forfeits due to not being there, and MVP claims himself the US champion, and he leaves with the title. Okay, so Apollo Crews doesn't take a loss. I'm not opposed to this. This is fine. So the title is technically still his, even though MVP is walking around with it. this just kind of felt like a waste of time. This was one of those things where it's like, why? What was the point of that? You could have easily announced that Apollo Crews wasn't there and that was done, especially since I think you interviewed Lashley for sure on the pre-show. I think they interviewed MVP too, mm-hmm. didn't they?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you could have easily just done that on the pre-show and it would have been fine. But, okay. All right. That's a thing that happened. All due respect again. I don't know. It felt really displaced. It felt really just odd. It's like, why? Why did you bother with that? I don't know.
Because they had to fill time and get the angle moving forward. I don't know. It was like, oh, he's coming out for the match, and then just walks in, walks out. And it's like, oh. Could have done it backstage, but I guess the...
It was weird.
It was weird. Okay, so we went with your favorite, in quotations, moment of the night. Let's talk about the most shocking moment of the night. We have new tag team champions.
Yeah, we do.
Shinsuke Nakamura and Cesaro beat the New Day.
What I find really interesting about this is that there were a bunch of people who were really unhappy about this. And I'm not entirely sure why.
Are they the same people who are always like, oh, let's push Cesaro. And then when they push Cesaro, wait, you took the belts off of New Day? What?
Yeah, they're like, you know, team slapped together or whatever they're calling them, or team mid-card or whatever for Shinsuke and Cesaro. They're like, oh, they gave them the titles. Why would you give them the titles? Because they've earned them? Because they're taking them off of New Day? Because you want Shinsuke and Cesaro to look like bosses? Like, I'm not entirely sure why you're complaining about Shinsuke and Cesaro having the titles, especially since they essentially straight up folded Kofi Kingston in half through a table.
Yeah.
Because Cesaro just looked like a boss.
Cesaro is hitting a stride right now that's really, really good.
So I enjoyed this match. I thought this was good. I'm really happy that Cesaro and Shinsuke have the titles, because you know what? That's going to move the tag division forward in the right direction, and I am here for that.
So on Up, Up, Down, Down, they play Uno, right?
Mm-hmm.
Cesaro plays and Woods plays. So on the Wednesday episode of Uno this week, you had Cesaro pull out his championship to mock Woods with it. Like, it's purring on Cesaro's shoulder. And Woods was pissed. Because they took the New Day's belts.
Well, you know, Woods needs to come back and avenge his boys.
When he will. When he can, he will. Poor Woods, though. They were doing a live stream today, and his computer, like, crashed, and he lost everything.
Oh, that sucks.
Like, they're doing geo mode, and he lost everything, apparently.
Oh.
That sucks.
That does suck.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, Cesaro and Shinsuke are your new tag team champions. They're probably not going to have a long run, but it'll be a decent run. Getting the belts off a New Day, making them chase, I mean, that's fine. All right, let's talk about it. Eye for an eye. Go.
All right, so I'm going to disclaimer this. My opinion of this match has nothing to do with the actual physical wrestling portion of this match. That was fine. Up until the finish of this match, this was actually pretty good. They were beating each other up. I'm not entirely sure why you would bring pliers to an removing an eyeball match, because I feel like a melon baller would be much more effective, but...
Ice cream scooper.
I still say an ice cream scoop would be too big. You'd have a hard time, like, getting it in the eye socket.
There are smaller ones that you can use. It has a nice little curve to it. You could scoop it right out.
Spoon. You know, anything with like a curvature to it that you could just like pop it in, or you get like one of those cake spatula things, like a cake icer, and you just go pop it right out. Anyway, Seth showed up with pliers. They did the match. The match portion of this was fine. Here's my issue with this, and I have to take my glasses off for this, because I'm going to face palm a bunch in this. The finish to this match. So the whole idea of this is that you're supposed to take somebody's eyeball out, right? Which Seth has already done, supposedly.
He injured the eye. He did not take it out. He injured the eye.
But he blinded the eye. There was blood. There was everything else when they did it the first time. Okay? Let's all stipulate that. Second go round, Seth basically does the repeat. He gets Ray on the steps. Ray, and this is after Ray has revealed that the eye that Seth injured is fine. He rips his little bug eye mask cover thing off, and boom, he can see. It's a miracle. And Seth grabs Ray and proceeds to take the newly revealed healed eye and shove it into the stairs, which, okay. All right, and Ray screaming and everything like that. and the doctor, like, Ray's screaming, and then Seth, I think, either pulls him up or Ray gets up because he's got his hands over his face, like, covering his eye. Doctors come running in. Dominic comes running in. Ray's laying there with his face. They've got a towel. They're trying to dab his face for the two drops of blood that showed up in this. And the only indication, and I don't know if anybody else saw it, because there apparently was a fake eyeball. I did not see it until Brock freeze-framed it, or somebody freeze-framed it and put it out on Twitter. The only indication that we really had other than Ray screaming was Samoa Joe deadpan going, "It's out." You then cut to Seth puking at ringside for this and looking remorseful, which led to then him on Raw basically being like, "Well, this is all Ray's fault," being a typical heel. All right. If you're going to promise to take somebody's eye out, even in a COVID world, and in a world where everything can be pre-shot, I feel like they did this match a disservice, because apparently there was something shot where there was blood, and that explains Seth's puking, because apparently it was very gory and everything like that. And supposedly Vince hated it, and it never aired, but they went with what they went with anyway, and then they still had Seth puke, which made no sense. Again, in a world where you can pre-tape, and you can pre-shoot, and you can do things, and you can pause, and you can doctor, and everything else, right? In this wonderful, magical world that they're in right now, can you not at least put blood on the stairs? I think that was my biggest problem, is you had, like, two drops of blood on, like, Ray's mask that were genuine just from the match. I think he got, like, cut up, or he got dinged or cut or something on his face, and it came through his mask. But if you're going to go to the trouble of having a fake eyeball, of having him cradle a fake eyeball to his face, of doing everything that you're doing, you can at least have a little blood or something on the stairs to indicate this is where it went into his face. Also, just based on the angle, and I am not an expert, but given that eyeballs are soft and squishy, and you put a corner into it, I believe it would actually crush the eyeball and push it back into the skull versus popping it out. But I could be entirely wrong on that. I don't know how that actually works. At the very least, I think it would actually just crush the eyeball, based on the angle and everything and how he was being pushed down. But I think that was my biggest issue with it, because it's like, it happened and you're just sitting there and you're like, wait, that's it? That's how they're going to do this? It's like, you know, there's not going to be any blood to this whatsoever, which you know there should be, right? Like, that's the thing. At the very least, you know there should be blood. Right? Because it's an injury. It's an injury to the face. It's an injury to your head. There's a lot of blood vessels. There's a lot of veins. There's a lot of things going on in your face. You're going to bleed. I feel like that, again, this was a disservice. And I understand now that this is, they had something shot and it got scrapped. So this was the makeup for it. But I still feel like somebody could have done a 5-minute Google search on what happens when you lose an eyeball. And they could have reacted accordingly.
We here at The Rock do not recommend Googling what would happen on how to lose an eyeball.
Unless you're interested in that kind of thing.
Unless that's your thing. But
I'm just saying, though, it's like, even to do the proper research.
No, Brent, even no.
You had like 50 people, just don't put it in chat. You had like 50 people at ringside. The stairs were blocked for a good like minute to 2 minutes. You could have very easily had somebody take like a washcloth or a piece of fabric, or, you know, even just sprinkle, like throw a little blood on the stairs, throw a little blood on Ray. I'm not saying it had to be like gushing out of his face, right? Like horror show, even though that's what this was called, you know, over the top blood, right? Like he doesn't have to be bleeding to death, but enough there that it's like it indicates he's severely injured. Because from watching this, that's not what I got.
Okay. I need to make a comment before you go on. For Brent, you know, WWE doesn't do blood and guts wrestling like other people.
No, they just have Seth Hurl.
Yeah, just puking. Not blood and guts wrestling.
Which, okay, that leads me to my next point. Which we talked about this on Monday, but I don't like the continuity error. I can almost deal with the puking, but here's my thing. Seth did it once, in quotations, and it didn't bother him. He didn't get sick. He didn't show any remorse. He didn't really care. He reveled in it. It was the whole crux to getting to this point, right? So Seth does it again. He blinds Rey Mysterio again. Mm-hmm. This time he gets sick. This time he's actively throwing up at ringside, which is not sanitary at all. I hope they really, really clean ringside after that. Which they should have after this match anyway. But my biggest problem is you had him show remorse. For like a split second, you had him show a conscience, which, no. I'm sorry, no. I understand he's trying to be human, but no. If he did it once, and he has actively tried to blind Humberto Carrillo, Aleister Black, Dominic, in the process of getting here, like actively tried to do it, and do it again to Rey, by the way, and then he actually does it in the match, it's like, no, there should be no remorse here, because he's done this. This is a pattern. This is a thing. And I feel like there was a really huge missed opportunity to take Seth Rollins to the whole next level with what he's currently doing. Like a whole other level in terms of just him being diabolical and him being evil and him being a heel. Just take him that next step up. And instead, I feel like what that did is they did what they always do kind of with Seth, whereas they get him to a point and then they cut his balls off. And he kind of goes back to being this sort of spineless, dickless heel. It's like he was going really strong up until that. And then for me, it's like they just were like, nope, we're not going to have you be badass. We're just going to cut you off right here. So it feels like a missed opportunity in terms of like storytelling, but we'll have to see where this goes. But I feel like Seth has really like come into what he's doing and he could really take it to that next level. But what were your thoughts on the match? I'm sorry.
I was underwhelmed by the finish. I sat here, I watched and I went, oh, this is good. It's all right. Where's the violence? But then the finish happened and the eyeball's just there. It's like, oh. That's it. I wanted more, as all the points you just mentioned. I wanted more violence. I wanted more blood and guts, as it were. But yeah, that's my general reaction to it. I can't really get excited over Rey Mysterio matches at this stage. So it's just like, hey, the match was there. It happened. We all knew the finish was going to be weird to begin with. We did not get the CGI effects that we were promised. Damn you, internets. Yeah, that's about it.
Yeah, I mean, again, it's... I still ask the question, why are they doing something called a horror show in July? I feel like you could have saved that for October and it would have been fine. I get that things are very weird right now and you don't know what is going to happen in October, if you're going to have fans or not, if you're going to be on the road or not, like how this is all going to play out. But it was weird, one, before we move on to the other stuff, that you were calling this the horror show, and really there were only two matches on this card that kind of defined horror. It was the Eye for an Eye and it was the Wyatt Swamp fight. And really, even the Eye for an Eye didn't live up to the moniker of horror. Everything else was just regular. Everything else was just normal. Like, there was no added violence. There was no nothing. It was just all there. And it felt very out of place. I feel like if you're going to go to the trouble of calling it the horror show at Extreme Rules, then commit to that shit. Every match should have a level of, not necessarily, not, I hate to keep using the word horror, but something that is like violent or disturbing or something.
It should have been taken to the extreme.
Yeah.
To steal
and
a term.
It just wasn't.
But the best wrestling on this night came from the women, because there were two good women's title matches on this show.
Yeah, there were.
Bayley and Nikki Cross, go.
I love this. I loved everything about this so much. I want Nikki to get more title shots, because I'm here for this. She's adorable. She's amazing. I felt really bad when she lost, but it was so good. I think this was the kickoff. This was the second match in.
Second match in. This came right after the tag titles.
And yeah, this was so good. This was just, I love her.
Nikki's so entertaining. I like the callback from SmackDown with the apron spots, and she went all the way underneath the ring to get to the other side, and Bayley had a chaser over there. I thought this was really good. Were there some interesting things at the end and how she retained the title? Yeah, but guess what? Heels be heels is the best way to put it. Heels be heels, and it's a gimmick that's been working for Bayley. It's a gimmick that's been working for Sasha, where they do some heel tactics and they get the job done, and they got the job done on this night for Bayley. Bayley was able to retain her title, and I can watch Bayley and Nikki wrestle all the time because it's really good. Because especially right now, and I said this Sunday, Nikki Cross is doing some of her best work without a crowd.
She is. She really, really is. I like how she's coming to her own, how she's evolved the character from what it was in Sanity to now how she is with Alexa. They're a really good pairing. I like how they haven't broken them up.
Remember everyone thought they were going to be gone in 6 weeks?
Well, that was a pattern, but yeah, I'm really happy that they're still together. They're still a thing because they add something to each other.
Mm-hmm.
So that's yeah, I'm here for this.
And then there's Sasha Banks and Asuka.
Okay, I have one not including the finish issue with this match because it got weird at the end where Sasha fell weird. She took a move weird off the turnbuckle and then she got up on the second rope and she fell. And after she fell, the timing on this, at least to me, felt off because it felt like they were rushing. And I don't know if they were rushing because they were worried Sasha had hurt herself. I don't know if that's what the finish was actually supposed to look like. Or I don't know if they were like, we're short for time, so just speed it the hell up. Like, I don't know what was going on there, but there at the end of the match, it just felt really off and really weird to me. But up until the point, that match was absolutely fantastic. And it was good after, up until the finish. But yeah, I had one complaint about that. But the finish, okay.
I love the finish.
The finish was good. The finish was creative. It just was like after one screwy finish after another, because I think this had just come. This came like right after Eye for an Eye in the show.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, what the hell? Where the finish was essentially that Asuka does the Mist of Doom to the referee. He gets blinded. So Bailey strips the referee, puts on his shirt. 1, 2, 3. Sasha is your new Raw Women's Champion. She's now Sasha Two Belts, which. We're all sitting here and it's like, that's not legal. That's so not legal. That's not going to stand. And then you sit here and you go, Raw doesn't have an authority figure. SmackDown doesn't have an authority figure. There's only one show that has one. And I don't think William Regal's power extends to Raw, but we could probably find out. And we did Monday. It does not. Stephanie stepped in and they're going with the way that they're going, but it was jarring enough that it pulled you out of that disbelief that you're like, wait a minute, no, that's not how that works.
Of all the overbooked finishes in all the lands, this is one of the more creative overbooked finishes that actually made sense and took you to a point and advanced the story. Could you have had a clean finish? Yeah. Could you have had Asuka cleanly beat Sasha and you go from there? Yeah. Could Sasha have won cleanly? Yeah. Or got a cheap win? Yeah. Well, if you're not ready to take the bet off Asuka and you don't want Sasha to really be champion, but the heel gimmick is working, an overbooked finish like this for this night worked.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Like I thought it was well done. I thought, and even if it was a last minute decision to go in this direction, it's like, all right, it worked. People were mad because people take it way too seriously, and then, you know, whatever. If you harken back to the Attitude Era and all the overbooked finishes that came from that era, this would have fit right in.
I mean, it would have. It really would have.
All the screwy Mr. McMahon finishes with Steve Austin and Dude Loves and The Rocks and all this. Screwy finishes with a ref. Right up there. We all knew it wasn't real. We all knew she wasn't the champion. You buy into the story. You just go with what they're telling you. You believe in what they're doing. And it works.
It totally works. Yeah. I mean, it absolutely got the story to the next point, which was Monday night, where Stephanie McMahon's like, yeah, no, that's not going to happen. We're going to do a rematch to determine who's the actual Raw Women's Champion, which, again, I don't 100% agree with, because it's like, well, technically, Asuka did not lose. And technically, Sasha did not win, but Asuka didn't win either, but she should get her title back. She didn't lose her title. She didn't win it. The match just gets thrown out, so it should all just revert back. But they're going this way. That's fine. It's whatever. That's how my brain logically adds that up, is if the match gets thrown out as if it never happened, then technically Asuka should just get her title back. But we're getting the match next week. I will take Sasha and Asuka all day long. Twice on Sunday.
Then there was the one-way Extreme Rules match. Yep, Ziggler said his stipulation would be he would be allowed to compete under Extreme Rules, and the title could change hands on disqualification or count out for if Drew McIntyre were to get himself disqualified or get counted out.
Why wasn't it false count anywhere?
Because he wanted the count-out stipulation.
You should have made it false count anywhere.
A one-way false count anywhere, yeah. But they did not do that. They kept it as it is. The match was fine. It's Drew McIntyre, Dolph Ziggler. They had a good match. It was a good wrestling match. They had some violence into it. But, you know, we all knew Drew McIntyre was going to win. He did, and now Dolph is begging for another title match, so that's where we're at. I don't know. I thought it was okay. I wasn't thrilled with it.
It was just in the sea of matches that was Sunday night, which there weren't a ton of matches. They had actually cut back a lot on how much was on the show, which I liked because that gave everybody more time to do what they were going to do on the show. This match kind of gets lost in the shuffle for me. Like, I don't really have a lot of memories of this match. It was just kind of there for me.
It was
that's fine.
It was a Drew McIntyre Dolph Ziggler Extreme Rules match. It was solid. It was good wrestling, and it was just there. It's everything you see on a Monday night.
Pretty much, yeah.
There was nothing that stood out for it. Mainly because Dolph Ziggler has no credibility as a number one contender because he doesn't win matches. He just begs for opportunity. Should have been me.
Over and over and over again.
But let's get to the thing we really want to talk about.
The Wyatt Swamp fight.
No, Kevin Owens and Murphy on the pre-show. No, kidding. Kevin Owens won on the pre-show.
It was a good match.
It was a good match. No, the Universal Champion Braun Strowman versus Bray Wyatt, non-title, Wyatt Swamp fight. Go.
I feel like I got entirely screwed. And let me explain why. So for, 4 years? I think that's how long he was doing the Swamp gimmick. 3-4 years, something like that. On the main roster. You're telling me we could have had Bray's Room of Requirement, essentially, where he indoctrinates and tortures people with snakes. We could have seen that. Never got it. We could have seen just the general, like, fuckery that goes on at the compound. Never got that. Just everything, like, this version of the Swamp Leader Bray Wyatt is everything I've ever wanted for it and more, and I'm really sad I'm never going to see it again because holy shit. But where was this 3 years ago? Why did they not make him look this badass 3 years ago? I'm really sad about that because damn. So this match...
Hold on. Before we get to the match, there's one thing we need to talk about first. The Funhouse during the middle of the show.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the teaser. So, Necromancer Bray, Mad Scientist Bray, with his hair fluffed up.
Uh-huh.
And eyeshadow and everything under his eyes. Basically does a teaser for the Wyatt Swamp fight. It's like an old 1930s, Frankenstein-style look to it. And he's cutting his promo about the match and everything like that. And he's like, and we're going to go to the scariest footage of the night. And they cut to the karaoke segment, and you come back to Bray, and he's like, God damn it, rabbit.
The fact they're able to take a shot of themselves is a good thing.
And he's like, I see what you did there. I see what you did. And then he realizes the camera's back on him, and he's like, spooky.
Mm-hmm.
And it goes back to the black and white and everything, and he goes back into it. So yeah, that was really good. That was really funny. And then during the match itself, it cut to that version of Bray as a cheerleader.
That was fantastic.
Which I need that as a reaction gift for everything in my life, by the way. So if somebody could get that on all the social medias so I can use it, that would be great. So this match opens, and there were a lot of references in this match that we have not taken apart. I didn't get a chance to go back and rewatch it because I've just been really, really busy with work this week. So I want to go back and rewatch this. I want to catch every reference that I missed because there was a lot in there. This match opens with Bray sitting in the middle of a road waiting for Braun to roll up, which he does. So Braun rolls up, Bray sitting in the chair waiting for him. He's laughing, he's rocking in it, and as Braun goes to hit him, Bray vanishes. And then Braun gets attacked by fake Luke Harper and fake Eric Rowan.
That was my favorite part. There's a fake Luke Harper.
There's a fake Luke Harper.
And it was fantastic.
I was like, oh my god, y'all did him so wrong. That's so mean. Like, I get you can't get him, but damn, that's cruel. We're going to get to that, LeMans. We're going to get to that. We're going to talk about that. And then Braun gets attacked, and he can't believe his eyes. He's seeing a ghost. He doesn't know what's going on because standing over him is himself, the black sheep of the Wyatt family, and he proceeds to take a shovel to himself. And knock himself out. And when Braun comes to, he's in Bray's room of requirement, his indoctrination and torture room. And Braun is, this is where we get really, really kinky, guys. Braun is chained, legit, to a chair, to the rocking chair, and Bray comes in and they exchange words.
No, but before we get to that, Bray does his full-on entrance.
Entrance, yeah, we got the full-on entrance. He did not carry his own head in.
We had an old lantern.
I was really curious how that was going to work, if he was going to carry his own head in or not. But he comes in, he does the entrance, we get to hear the Mark Crozer theme one more time. And then he starts to taunt Braun, and he yells, and he talks to Braun, and he weaves his spell over Braun, and Braun's trying to shake him off, and he can't do it, and he can't do it. And then we get into the actual torture, where basically Bray, and a real-life version of Sister Abigail, or Abby the Puppet, because there was actually callbacks to all the puppets in this, show up with a snake.
Yep.
And they proceed to have Braun get bit by the snake, which flashes him to the next part.
Where he's beating up people.
He's beating up fake Luke Harper and a guy that looks like Dominic Dijakovic. He lights him on fire, and then he hears a voice calling to him, whispering to him, luring him, a siren, come home, Braun, come home. And we look and we see a ghostly figure draped in black on the dock, and she lifts her veil, and it's Alexa Bliss.
Oh my god, it's Sister Abigail! No.
Okay. She's not technically Sister Abigail. She's an apparition that is meant to taunt Braun. Now, I'm not saying it would be cool to see Alexa Bliss as Sister Abigail, but she's more of, they're calling back to the Little Big storyline. That sort of helped to pull Braun out of the Wyatt family, I think, originally, because he had just left the family when that happened.
It turned him from being just a plain old monster, gave him a monster with a personality.
Yeah. It kind of started him on this whole path.
Made him a babyface.
Yeah, and so she's kind of that temptation for him to lure him in. And then we get the boat with the pond. And I'm screaming at the top of my lungs, for the love of God, keep Bray away from the water.
It was Skarsgård, yes! It was wonderful, yes!
And so Braun knocks Bray, the two fight, and Braun knocks Bray into the boat and pushes the boat away, and he thinks he's won. Except the boat comes back. And it's empty. And Braun's confused, and he's looking around. And this was the best part of this whole fight, and I think it pissed a lot of people off, is they flashed the bottom of the paper, the ending graphic for the pay-per-view at the bottom right at this point in the match. Because everybody was like, what the hell?
As Strowman knocked him back into the water, he was like, oh, it's over. And we both sat here going, wait, that was it?
Like, that's it? He's like, no, that's not it. That's not it. That's not it. Because Bray comes back out of the water, and then we have the baptism gone wrong. Because they fight in the water, and they're fighting and everything.
So what happened was Bray reached up, grabbed him with the mandible claw to bring him into the water. And then it starts.
The water
starts bubbling.
And it turns red. And out comes the Fiend.
So this was not a match, this was a story. This was the next chapter in the story. It now leads to the return of the Fiend, who we have not seen since WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Where he put away John Cena. It's been that long since we've seen the Fiend. And we all knew where this was going. We all knew the Fiend was coming for Braun Strowman to recapture what was his. And that's what this led to. Some people like this. Some people thought this was stupid. I enjoyed it. I thought it was really good.
A lot of people were comparing this to the Firefly Funhouse match, which I think that obviously had set the bar for the cinematic matches for Bray. This was not on that level. And the reason why this was not on that level is this is the next part in an ongoing continuing story. So it's not going to have that same finality as what the John Cena match had. Because the John Cena match is a one and done. That's like a 30 to 45 minute experience.
It was 15 minutes.
It felt longer.
Yeah. The Boneyard was tournament.
Yeah. But this was basically Bray and Braun are going to meet. You're having Swamp Bray fight Braun, and they did him wrong at the end because Swamp Bray can't get it done. So the Fiend shows up in place of Swamp Bray, puts him back in the grave, and takes out Braun Strowman. And that is the end of that. Now, we'll have to see tomorrow where this leads to because we haven't heard or seen Braun Strowman since this happened. Nobody knows where he is. Nobody knows what's going on with him. So I'm sure we will get that continuation of the story next. Because whatever's supposed to happen, Braun's supposed to come back in some sort of form. Whether it's the monstrous form, whether it's whatever to attack Bray Wyatt. But he should not be the same whenever he comes back or whatever form he comes back in. He should not just be the happy-go-lucky monster that he was. He should be impacted or changed or scarred or something because of what happened in this match. I would hope that anyway. I think they will do that because they've been steadily doing that. But on its own, I really liked this. I really enjoyed it. Like I said, this made me really sad at the same time because it's like I look back at all the feuds that Swamp Bray Wyatt had and I'm like, this could have been a thing the entire time and we didn't have it. Because I legit am wondering, was Braun special? Because that's where my brain goes, and Bray was just like torturing him with snakes and shit. And like the ghost of his past and his past decisions, or was this everybody? Cause it's like, everybody tends to forget. I don't. Bray Wyatt kidnapped the Undertaker. So you're telling me we could have had this happen to the Undertaker and we never saw it. I'm really upset about it. It happened to Kane twice. You're telling me again, we could have seen that. Didn't happen. Daniel Bryan, you know, the list goes, John Cena the first time, the list goes on and on and on and on and on of all the feuds he had while he was Swamp Bray Wyatt, and we never saw any of it. And I get it, they don't have time, they can't do it, it's PG, it's whatever. But I'm very sad because it's like, this could have been the Swamp character the whole first run. They could have taken him this seriously, they could have made him look this badass, and they just didn't. So I'm happy that, like, because this was Bray Wyatt's vision, that this version of the Swamp Leader got to be seen, that he got to be heard, that he got to do this. Because I feel like they finally did him justice after all these years. I'm picturing a cinematic Undertaker Bray Wyatt match, LeMans, and I cry because we'll never get it. I would love to see Bray Wyatt psychologically take the Undertaker part, because there's a lot there that he could use. And have the Undertaker do it back to Bray. But that's another discussion for another day. But I enjoyed this match. I thought it was good. Like I said, I want to go back and watch all the references and pick up on everything, because there were a lot of callbacks to the original family, to what he's been doing, to other things. Very similar to what the Firefly Funhouse was. But it's different. And I like that it was different. But what were your thoughts?
I enjoyed it. I thought it was different. I thought it progressed the story. And to correct you, it was Swamp Bray who pulled him in. And then the Fiend appeared.
I know, but
I'm just making that point. I'm just making it clear.
It's not Swamp Bray that finished the match. That's my thing. It's like he was already in the process of becoming the Fiend when he pulls Braun in. So technically Swamp Bray still doesn't get it done, but he does get it done. I will say that is the freakiest I've ever seen the Fiend look, is him coming up out of that water with the red in the water. Like they had used like red lighting and fog and everything. And the Fiend comes up out of the water and you see him come up from behind this like dock. And that's just like, and they did this extreme close up on him and it's dark and it's just, oh shit, that's just spooky. Because all you can see is like, you see the Fiend mask, and then you get a close enough shot of Bray that you can actually see like his mouth under the Fiend mask. So you just essentially see like this black hole under the Fiend mask. It's just kind of freaky. It was weird, but cool. And then the pictures they were putting out of it was good too.
It was enjoyable. I thought it was enjoyable.
I will take more. I will definitely
take more of this. A couple of the housekeeping things. We both went 4-2. The 8-ball went 4-1. The Wheel of Fun, the magical Wheel of Fun, went 2-3.
We beat the inanimate objects. Woo! Go us.
So I think that's our coverage of Extreme Rules.
Everybody, we're going to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to be doing News Notes, NXT, and Tweet of the Week. So you don't want to miss that. You're listening to The Rack right here on wildtalkradio.com, and we will be right back.
Are you following us on twitch.tv/WTR live? Do you have Amazon Prime? If so, you can link it to your Twitch account and subscribe to our Twitch channel for free with Twitch Prime. It's the easiest way to help support us for free.
Hey y'all, you want to get social with The Rack? Follow us on Instagram. Instagram.com/RackRadioShow.
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show.
Suplex City, bitch!
From the big returns...
Maybe I have one more ass-kicking left in. I thought to myself, maybe I have one badass spear left in me. Then I thought to myself, maybe I have one last devastating jackhammer in me. So, Brock Lesnar, not only does that mean that you're next, but most importantly, it means, Brock Lesnar, you're last!
To the shocking moment.
First off, thank you so much for that. Yeah, what's up, Detroit?
And the moments that leave you speechless.
You know, Chris, if you're going to put something on that list, why don't you start with that terrible scarf of yours? I mean, while I'm looking at you, you can add those rinky-dink tattoos on there, your tacky little haircut, your creepy mustache, and how about those trunks, Sparkle Crotch?
What?
Sparkle Crotch. They're sparkly. Rhinestones all over the place. Sparkle Crotch. Go ahead, get it on the list, write it down. Sparkle Crotch.
I'm going to say this one time. I am not Sparkle Crotch.
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
What is the greatest of all time? Saturday nights. We decide... From sports, video games, movies, and even the X-rated. You help us decide what is the greatest of all time. It is the Great and Great Debate, a part of your Saturday night.
Event.
CB Radio. Saturday night. Midnight is Houston. On the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Did you know you can use support a creator code, Rock and Sock, in the Fortnite item shop? That's ROCKNSOCK in the Fortnite item shop.
Hey everyone, this is Angelina Love, your six-time knockout champion and the sacred seductress, and you are doing the right thing because you are listening to The Rack Radio Show.
And welcome back to The Rock right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out at YouTube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over on WildTalkRadio.com, RockRadioShow.com, or directly on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. You get a quick second and you happen to have a Twitch Prime sub available, well, feel free to use it here. If you want, you just click the little purple button at the bottom of the screen and you can do that. You can also follow the regular way or just, you know, subscribe the regular way, or you can just hang out in the chat and lurk. We're happy to have you any way we can get you. So welcome if you're just joining us. And, well, I say we do two of the week. What do you say?
Well, I used to be the kind of person spending time on MySpace until the spammers ended up taking over my place. And I was so bitter until I found Twitter. Ooh, a place where you can go ahead and write what you're feeling. 140 characters or less is what you're giving. My addiction starts to climb. I go to refresh my timeline, 'cause I won't stop tweeting. No more, no more. It cannot wait, I'm sure.
Brent, go to your corner.
What did he do?
Go look at Twitter.
Okay, keep going.
Bailey, I-E-Y-E. Hope Rey Mysterio is okay. Ha 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 ha. Jason Isaacs. The Patriot was released 20 years ago today. Initially not a huge success, it's subsequently become a classic holiday favorite, reproving the old movie maxims. If a psychopath kills your children, give all the Australians swords. And someone in marketing fucked us. I mean, not a lie. TMZ. Man allegedly steals 3-foot, 40-pound sex toy from Las Vegas adult store. Suplex City Limits. Brad Shepard is at it again. Chip Gaines. Sometimes when you're feeling exhausted, it's okay to, accidentally, have your PJs and your house slippers on at 3:45 p.m. Right? Dr. Lupo responds, wait, I'm supposed to say it's an accident? And that's all I got.
Jake from State Farm here. Yo, Dr. Lupo. Is your controller not working or you have not played before? I bet your controller is working. Check the plug and restart. I'll wait. Hashtag good neighbor. Ben Axelrod. Only Charlie on TV can host First Take and provide a medical update on Rey Mysterio's dislodged eyeball in a 72-hour span. She goes, I'm a renaissance woman.
Mm.
Stephanie Chase, Christian, at last, you're in your home. Sorry, WWE Raw. WWE Fox tweets, without saying their name, what is your favorite WWE superstar known for? Filthy Tom Lawler. Necrophilia.
Oh, God.
It's gotta be.
I hate that that's going to be his lasting, one of his lasting legacies. I really hate that.
The former Zack Ryder goes, who wants a shot and holds up his new internet title? Rob Schomburg, I have no wrestling training, zero athletic skill, the charisma of a wet cement, and I'm in terrible shape, but I think Shane Helms could teach me how to chokeslam your ass. I mean, why not? Eric from the Viking Raiders, it should be legal to clothesline people who don't say thank you when you hold a door for them. I mean, not a lie. Should be legal.
Mm-hmm.
Bailey. Stephanie McMahon is done for. Angry emojis. Stephanie question mark? Bailey. Hello, ma'am. That was just a typo, man. Hope you're done for the day so that you can relax. Thanks for the opportunity. Hashtag well. Finn Balor. I use quarantine very wisely by watching all 180 episodes of Seinfeld. Lance Storm. What'd you do for week 2? Finn Balor. My 600-pound life. That's what happens. Anyway, that's all I got.
Okay, I have a late entry.
Okay.
So, wrestling figure news source, we've got Masters of the Universe, or WWE Universe, The Fiend Bray Wyatt, coming soon to Walmart. And they got the go-ahead from Mattel to share this, and it's pictures of the figure. And Bray responds, this is amazing. And Walmart goes, Bray, does this mean when the figure comes out, you're going to let him in? And he uses his own reaction GIF of himself with Huskus the pig winking. You know you've made it win.
You know you made it win.
I just like that Walmart went for it. I'm very proud of them for that.
Mm-hmm. So proud.
He's also excited because he can wear his half Jason mask whenever he wants.
Yep. All right. Let's get into the news presented as always by MBG Films, youtube.com/MBG1211.
So it wasn't a busy news week, which is good, but we do have some. Brent, I've been shooting my shot for like 4 years on Twitter. I haven't gotten him to notice me once. I'm kind of hoping the Rabbit Project will get his attention, but I don't think it will. Anyway, we do have things to talk about. So obviously, some of the biggest news outside of Extreme Rules is that Slammiversary happened on Saturday, and just a few notable people that we know and love showed up on that show, which was not a surprise because several people had already been teased. Gallows and Anderson dropped the news that morning that they had signed with Impact, but we had some other WWE people show up, including Heath Slater, EC3, Kurt Hawkins.
Which was on Impact. Kurt Hawkins was Impact, not on Slammiversary. But yeah.
Continue. But yeah, he was still there. And EY, who was on Impact. No, he was on Slammiversary.
He was on Slammiversary. He challenged for the Impact World title.
So quite the bunch there. Heath Slater and Gallows and Anderson, I believe, have signed with Impact Wrestling. EC3 has not, supposedly. That's what he's saying. But I think him and EY have an agreement with them to do something. And then I think Kurt Hawkins is an unknown. Or did he sign?
I think Kurt Hawkins signed. EC3 is probably his agreement. EY is probably signed. Heath Slater is probably signing. And Gallows and Anderson have signed. They have signed a two-year deal.
So there you go. So congratulations to them. Best of luck to them as they move forward.
Speaking of Impact, Bound for Glory was announced.
It's happening October 24th, guys. So look forward to that.
Yay.
Woo! Progress. And since we have no real good transition other than, you know, Impact took a step forward. Unfortunately, Chris Jericho took a step back. His wild time cruise, I don't even know what to call it.
The triple whammy Chris Jericho Rockin' Rager that was scheduled for January, February of this year has been pushed to October of 2021.
Yes. So
I should say this upcoming year, I should say.
So everybody, if you were supposed to be on that, if you had any type of affiliation with that, we don't have any information on refunds or anything like that. So I would just say stay tuned to either if there's a website, check the website or check Chris Jericho's Twitter, because I'm sure he'll tweet something about it.
Yeah. If you want a refund, you could probably get them. Just tweet Chris Jericho and he'll probably give you all the information.
Yeah. And last but certainly not least, WWE has teamed with War Gaming for World of Tanks, where we're going to have WWE superstar themed tanks that fight each other.
That's pretty cool.
It's interesting.
Then just do it in Fortnite. That'd be great.
I was going to say, I want to run around as WWE superstars in Fortnite. How can we make this happen? Epic, WWE, please, you know, get together, do a thing. Just, they have several people that would make fantastic Fortnite characters. Just saying. Anyway, and one of those people, they kind of already have a skin for him or a couple skin for him, would be Taker. And we just happened to get to talk about The Undertaker on the show, which makes me super happy, because I always love to talk about Bray Wyatt and The Undertaker in the same show. But we got, and it was way too short, I'm just going to go ahead and say that right now up front, we got a sixth episode of The Undertaker series, which was basically some of the unusable footage, or footage that just didn't go into the docuseries. We got a 20 minute, essentially, like, little mini show, which I'll take, of The Undertaker telling his stories that didn't make it into the docuseries. And we had animations to illustrate what he's talking about. And then it was also narrated by Timothy Oliphant. I'm just going to say this, because like I said, it was way too short. I want story time with Mark Calaway. Because I know there's more footage. I want the outtakes. I want, like, everything from that series. It's not an outtake reel. There were no outtakes. It made me really sad that there's no outtakes. It's just The Undertaker telling stories. So one of the stories he tells is about Eggman and how he thought he was going to be Eggman instead of The Undertaker, which he kind of told in the Stone Cold podcast. Another one was some really good road stories where, like, he set Yokozuna's hair on fire and he and the Godfather get in a fight about a hat.
Which ended up with Undertaker putting his head through a door, which is a common occurrence.
Apparently. And he hucked, like, and then he threw the door off the balcony.
Oh, yeah, that's a news story we didn't mention.
Hmm.
It's in the chat. You're a grumpy old man.
Oh, yeah.
He's a renegade. Renegade. Renegade.
Taker's on TikTok, y'all. I don't even know anymore. What is life? I'm waiting for him to get a Twitch channel. I'm really waiting for that now. I'm like, just, it's gonna happen. He's either gonna get a Twitch channel or he's gonna get a YouTube.
I want to see him and Michelle do the Renegade on TikTok.
No! No!
That would break so many souls, but I want to see it happen.
It would kill my soul if he did that. But God, yeah, The Undertaker's now on TikTok. Anyway, And then it's, he talks about like this really like wrestler's court, and we find out about that, including that Xavier Woods gave him this really nice gavel that he just happened to have in his pocket, and he showed off on camera because he's like, yeah, I just happened to have it here. Look, here's the gavel. And you know, Xavier like lost his shit when he saw that. It's like, he still has it. And, cause Taker's like, it's one of my favorite things that I've ever been given. So it's like, that was really sweet. But yeah, I want more. Mm-hmm. Like, I really want more. Cause I think my favorite thing about this was like the Godfather story, right? He's getting ready to tell the Godfather story, and he's like, so I have to disclaimer this. We were younger. This is not recent. We were younger, and we were known to potentially put away some whiskey. Not claiming we did it, not acknowledging that, or not, you know, accepting that we did it, just it might have happened that we maybe had been under the influence of alcohol at the time. And I'm sitting here and I'm like, is your mother still alive? Because I feel like this is a man that fears his mother or someone. Like, Mark, just say that you did it. Because we all know that you did it. You have the reputation for it. We all know you did it. Just, you know, be honest. But yeah, I want more. I would love to see more, either like Taker story time, or I would love to see him write a book, or just get more footage from this in general, because I feel like it would be just, there's so much there that we didn't get to see. And I think my favorite thing about, like I said before, the whole docuseries in general is just getting to see the person. And I genuinely love the person behind the character as much as I love the character now. Because it's like, you just see him and it's like, oh, you're such a dork. I love you. So, even though I'm sure he's not perfect and, you know, he has his ups and his downs and everything else. But yeah, I wanted more. Because we got the tame stories and I want the non-tame stories.
Yeah, I don't disagree. I like it. Just give me more.
Just like I said, he could get a Twitch channel and he could just do, you know, Taker Talk, and he could just sit there on Twitch. Like, legit, that man could like sign up for a Twitch channel and he could probably never stream, and he could get 10K, 20K, 30K, however many K subscribers, like, because it's The Undertaker. He'd be partnered in like 2 days and I would cry, but it would be amazing. So anyway, NXT.
It's time for this week's edition of the NXT Rundown.
NXT, the show the cool kids watch, or really old people.
So, Matt, I actually jokingly said Taker should get an OnlyFans, too. I jokingly said that the other night.
She did. So, coming into this show, we were all scared to death.
I thought Uncle William was going to leave us. And I don't want Uncle William to leave us. He's like Uncle William, and somebody has to watch Hunter's kids.
All right, we're not going to discuss Taker with any fans. We're going to talk about this show. So Keith,
no, I want to answer that.
No, we're not answering that.
We're answering that.
No, we're
Brent,
not. No,
Brent, he already goes tits out every match. He goes tits out anyway, so it doesn't matter if he takes his tits out on Twitch or not.
You can't show your tits on Twitch anyway. That would be an OnlyFans.
Can't. He probably
no,
could.
You can, no, he can't. Nope.
Guys can't do it? They nope. Can't sit there shirtless?
Because some people could sexualize it.
Wow.
That's a thing. Anyway, it opened with William Regal introducing Keith Lee via the magical webcams. And he talked about how he's going to give up the NXT North America Championship. Regal, his huge announcement was he's creating a series of triple threat matches with the winners qualifying to go on to NXT TakeOver 30 to compete in a ladder match for the North American Championship. So before we get into all those matches, our opening contest, Dexter Lumis, Killian Dane.
This was good. This was really good.
Yeah, it was very enjoyable. Dexter made him pass out.
Dexter is very much into that. That's his thing.
Mm-hmm. You had Dakota Kai cutting a selfie promo. Really nice. And she bragged about kicking Io's face off, and she's coming for the title. I think we're going to get that match at TakeOver 30. Call me crazy.
I mean, we could. We absolutely could. I don't know, though. It's so hard to say.
We had Ever-Rise taking on the Mounties. I mean, Breezango. They did a whole Mounties entrance. It was fantastic.
Oh, Canada.
Home and native land.
I guess. Isn't Breeze Canadian?
Yes. Yeah, he is.
Yeah, okay.
Right up his alley. Breeze Hango got the win. But Ever-Rise is from Canada. That was the whole point of it.
Ah, okay. All right. Got it now.
Yeah. Shotzi Blackheart took on Aaliyah.
That's not the point. The point is after the match, she ran over Robert Stone's good foot with her tank.
He was like, he was worried about his bad leg, and then she ran over the good one. Shotzi got the win. A little good match.
And, well, Robert Stone got the last laugh, though, because to help him, out came Mercedes Martinez out of nowhere, because she boots Shotzi in the face as Aaliyah's trying to get the tank off of Robert's foot. And in the end, Mercedes signs with the Robert Stone brand.
So we're going to get Mercedes and Shotzi, and I would assume Mercedes is going to have another challenger coming after her, too. Someone who's had a run-in with Robert Stone recently. I think we're going to get Mercedes and Rhea.
I'm fine with that. I'm totally fine with that.
It was the North American Championship qualifier match. It was a triple threat match. Johnny Gargano, Bronson Reed, Roderick Strong. In a surprise to me, Bronson Reed won.
I'm okay with this. Like, I'm really happy that Bronson Reed won. I'm just kind of shocked that he won. Like, it's because it's like it's Johnny and Roderick, and you figure, you know, especially with them going into a ladder matchup, one of them would turn up in it, and they probably may still turn up in it. But yeah, it's like, oh, okay, they're going to move Bronson forward. All right, cool. Cool. Very cool. But overall, this was a great match. I like this. I thought it was enjoyable.
I would agree with that. We had Oney Lorcan and Timothy Thatcher. Really good match.
God, this is so good.
Timothy Thatcher is winning me over week after week.
I like him. I'm really enjoying what he's doing. And like just these really hard, strong style type matches where they're just going in and having these slugfests is just really awesome.
We had a little Finn Balor promo.
So good. It's like, oh, hi, Finn.
Where he talked about his matchup next week against Dexter Lumis and Timothy Thatcher.
Somebody's going to die in that match. Like, that is just going to be straight up somebody's going to die. I cannot wait for that. It's going to be so good.
And then you had your main event, Karrion Kross, Dominik Dijakovic, or Dijakovic.
Murder Mom looked great.
She sparkled.
She's very sparkly. This was good.
This was good. Karrion got the win. And then Keith Lee had to come out to make sure that there was no funny business, as he kind of had the choke on for a little while.
But what I liked about this was Karrion Kross is almost daring Keith Lee to save his friend, right?
Yep.
Like, he's like, come on, do it. Save him. I'm going to beat him up. I'm going to rough him up. I'm going to choke him out. Save him. Make that choice. Save him. And Keith Lee doesn't do it. So Karrion ends up basically choking out Dominik, which was absolutely just fantastic storytelling. I like how they're slowly building this between Keith and Karrion, where it's like there's no real reason for them to fight, but they're building the reason to the fight, and it's a slow burn, and I love that.
Yeah, very enjoyable. A very solid NXT.
Very solid.
But
so
I think that's our show.
I think that's our show. So, all right. We are going to take a break. We're going to round up Brent because I think Omega is still on vacation. And we're going to do Fortnite with friends. So everybody sit tight or go get a snack, go get a drink, go do whichever you need to do. But we'll be back here in just a few minutes. And well, you got stuff to plug, so plug away.
Saturday night, midnight, edition, CBRadio.com, GreaterTheGreatDebate.com. Sunday night, the war is on. WTR Fantasy Draft Season 11 this Sunday, 10 p.m. Eastern. New format, a little bit. It's the Rack versus WTR Sunday Night. Who's going to win? We'll have all the rules on Sunday. Yes, there's a show because we're all going to be on it to make sure there's a show. Monday night's Raw Post Show, 11 p.m. Eastern. We'll be back next Thursday. No. Right? Lindsay?
I don't think we're going to be back next Thursday night because I'm going to be on vacation, so we are not doing a show next week.
No show next Thursday night, but every other Thursday we'll be live at 10 p.m. Eastern. It's Rack Radio Show on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. The Rack Radio Show on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, wherever you get your podcast. That's a thing. It's at Wild Talk Radio on Twitter. Facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. Don't worry, we'll do Fortnite next week, next Thursday in time. Probably, maybe, we'll see. See what happens. Speaking of Fortnite, use creator code Rocket Second to Fortnite Item Shop. By the way, if you have Amazon Prime, link to your Twitch account is called Twitch Prime. You can subscribe for free by hitting that purple rectangle button below the screen. Oh, that was a hashtag ad, by the way. Because we're a hashtag epic runner. Go.
All right, you can follow me on most of the social medias and on Twitch at Lins Ward, LANSWRD. And don't forget to check out our very fine sponsor, MBG Films, youtube.com/MBG1211. So for Rock, I'm Lindsay Ward. Everybody, like I said, go get a snack, go get a drink, go do what you got to do, but come back because in just a few minutes we are going to be playing Fortnite with friends. And it is challenge night, guys, so prepare for shenanigans. But till then, you can listen to Rock right here on WallTalkRadio.com, and we will see you in 2 weeks. Bye! WildTalkRadio.com.